Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Romancing Summer by Kate Astor, narrated by Lynn Barrington and Mason Lloyd. Prologue. Freya Hansen Adler. Sun and sand every weekend. That's my plan. Dax's eyes, normally the darkest of browns, seem to flash with light as he speaks, and his wide grin flirts with me even though I'm sure it's unintentional. Dax, like all the military co-workers my husband invites over for barbecues, wouldn't dare make a move on me. I glance over at my husband, Mason, and feel that spark flicker between us, that I would have thought might have disappeared after having a child with him. But it's still there, strong as ever. We just have a lot less free time to act on it. As though she can hear my thoughts, my sweet Astrid toddles over to me and thumps on my knee, wanting to sit on my lap. She never likes it when people are over and she has to compete for attention. She hasn't figured out yet that, as far as Mason and I are concerned, she will always come first. I pull her up onto me and enjoy the familiar warmth of my precious daughter in my arms. I'll never take this for granted.
Dax is a wannabe beach bum,
Mason tells me, as he slides his hand along my shoulders, giving me a squeeze. I've picked up on that, I reply, sending Dax an appraising look. Dax is the same rank as Mason, but younger than him by maybe a year or so, I'm guessing. I've met a lot of the men Mason works with at the Pentagon, but not this one. Strange, I contemplate, because Mason has worked with Dax for 2 years. I can't help thinking it's because this man is as single as a slice of American cheese. Mason tries to keep the single ones away from me, and looking at Dax, there's no question why. Astrid then leaves the comfort of my lap to walk over to Dax and crawls up onto him, as though she's known him for longer than just 2 hours.
Bounce, please,
she commands him, and he chuckles as he complies. I smile at the sight of it. He likes kids. My brain churns even more than it usually does. How could it not? I look at a guy like Dax, young, cute, unattached, likes kids, and there's only one thing on my mind. I need to set him up with a single woman. My husband hates this about me. At least he says he does. In truth, I think he gets a kick out of it. Still, he does try to keep me away from his single co-workers because, to me, the idea of bringing a new couple together, launching them onto the glorious wave of romance, is just too tempting for me to resist. I am a romance novelist, after all. My entire occupation revolves around creating happy endings. It's the breath I take into my lungs, the passion that stirs my soul, and the fire that heats me when I feel the embrace of my own happily ever after, every time Mason holds me close. So, of course, I'd want to create that for a nice guy like Dax. I didn't realize that Savannah was even on the ocean, I say. I could have sworn it was on a river.
Oh, it is on a river, and that's where I'll live. I already got an apartment with a short commute to Hunter.
Hunter? I ask.
Hunter Army Airfield. It's where my battalion is. But Savannah is just a short drive to Tybee Island, depending on the traffic. And the surf there? It's the kind of surf that gives a guy a reason to live.
Tybee Island? The name seems to whittle free a seemingly inconsequential memory. Didn't your brother's wife live there way back? I direct the question to my husband, but he only shrugs. And I think, I could have sworn we knew someone else there. Who was it? I ask this part more to myself than to Mason. He doesn't pay attention to people in the way that I do. In my writer's brain, I tend to memorize everything about everyone, as though I might pluck some of their traits or features from my memory one day and use them for a character in a book. Tybee Island. A memory forms, hazy at first, then slowly the details fill in, like streaks of crayon in one of Astrid's coloring books. And I can see her face again in my mind's eye. Someone at a friend's wedding last winter. And she was single. Immediately my brain starts clicking in that way my husband hates. I can't help it. I cock my head, picturing her here now, sitting next to Dax. Millie. Millie and Dax. Dax and Millie. They'd make a good couple. Yep,
I'm so doing this. Have you been to Tybee? Dax asks me. Nope, I answer. Never, but I know the best place to get a good pie on the island.
Pie?
Yeah, the Breeze Inn Diner, I say offhandedly, and immediately sense Mason's eyes on me. I see the recognition in them. He knows what I'm doing, and there's no mistaking his disapproval. I lift my chin, resolute as my gaze meets my husband's. Don't do it, his eyes seem to warn me. But why wouldn't I? And how couldn't I? It's the right thing to do.
I love pie,
Dax says as my husband sends me a withering look.
I'll definitely check it out.
Good, I tell him innocently, enjoying the idea of it. I know it strikes people as odd, the way I love to set singles up, but I'm in love with love, as my husband likes to say. And it will be summer when Dax is settling in at his new post. Such a wonderful time of year to make new friends, to experience new places, to fall in love. My smile spreads. Be sure to ask for Millie when you get there, I add, my tone shooting for off the cuff, even as I sense my husband suppressing an eye roll in my direction.
Millie?
Dax asks. Yeah, it's her pie crust recipe. The flakiest, most buttery crust you'll ever eat. Okay, maybe I'm laying it on a little thick, seeing as I've never even tried her pie. Millie and I talked about baking for a while at her brother's wedding, and she seemed to appreciate the old-school recipes as much as I do. Our grandparents, their entire generation, they rocked the kitchen. And she'll hook you up with extra whipped cream if you say that we sent you, I add, pulling out all stops.
Freya,
Mason's tone is warning.
He hasn't even moved yet. Don't give him more things to do. Are you kidding, man? There are days I'd trade my surfboard for a homemade pie, he says, and I'll probably make it to Tybee that first weekend I'm there. I'm aching to see the ocean. This Pentagon job's been killing me these past 2 years. I haven't had time to go to the ocean even once. The Pentagon bleeds you dry with long shifts, Mason commiserates.
Will it be better when you're in Georgia? I ask.
Oh, yeah, the Rangers work you hard, but when you're home, it's usually predictable. Not so predictable when you're deployed, though, Mason reminds him. True enough, that's why I'll be back on that beach on Tybee Island every chance I get this summer, while my battalion's pretty guaranteed to stay stateside.
Eating pie, I remind him, giving him a smile just as my husband groans slightly. Because it's really good. Just remember to ask for Millie. Okay, maybe I'm pushing this too much.
Yeah, sure. Millie, he repeats,
looking a touch perplexed at my insistence, which tells me I'm coming on too strong. Then his eyes brighten as he adds,
Maybe I'll get lucky and she'll adopt me as her honorary grandson, so I'll get lots of Southern home cooking while I'm down there. Actually, Millie is,
my husband begins as I shoot him a deadly look, silencing him. Because if he reveals that Millie is barely in her 30s, and Dax discovers I'm trying to set him up, I have a feeling their meeting will never happen. Military guys are notorious for not liking setups. So I cut in with, as sweet as her pie. Dax grins, oblivious to my machinations.
Bet I'll love her.
I chuckle inwardly. Bet you will. At least, that's the way I'd write their story. Chapter 1. Millie. So, the word slides sluggishly past my lips like the flow of water struggling to pass through the partially clogged drain in my bathroom. You're saying I'm out of a job? My eyes track from the freshly wiped linoleum counter of the diner where I've worked contentedly these past years, upward to my boss, a woman I've come to think of as one of my closest friends here on Tybee Island. The tiny wrinkles at the sides of Harriet's eyes crinkle in the same subtle way they do when she talks about things like upcoming vacations or how her sole granddaughter just managed to eat solid food without spitting it out. My frown deepens, adding, And you're smiling about it? I can't help the annoyance, considering the way her words have taken my perfectly stable life and turned it on its ear. Well, Jim and I are so excited to retire, she responds, still smiling but with a slightly defensive tone. Besides, she adds hopefully, I was kind of thinking that you'd buy me out.
She says it like a question because she knows me well enough to understand that buying her out is the least attractive option for me. My jaw gapes. Buy you out? This place was barely making ends meet before you came here. Now we're thriving. You've got a natural talent for making this old diner shine. I scoff. Natural talent? My sister Maggie has the natural talent in our family. My brother Harris has the brawn. Me? I just have an MBA that I couldn't seem to utilize in corporate America without falling apart at the seams. For the record, the only thing that changed since I arrived is that you let me put my grandma's pie on the menu.
Not true. Advertising, online reviews, pricing, and bulk purchases? You brought this place out of the dark ages. Now we're, and I quote, the perfect blend of laid-back island life and southern hospitality.
Who said that?
Someone on Yelp just yesterday.
And you memorized it already? I note, shaking my head. You obsess over reviews even more than I do.
Of course, because you give me nothing more to do in this place other than obsess over reviews. You do it all. Why not just buy me out and make it your own? I mean, if it's money you're worried about, we could work something out. I'd be so happy to see this place go on as a diner rather than someone turning it into another store that sells cheap beach gear.
For the record, you do a lot more around here than just read reviews. I can't help feeling obliged to remind her how essential she is. I just don't think that the stress of owning a restaurant really meshes with the life I've built for myself here. I almost crack a smile unintentionally, because there are days when I think I pretty much haven't built anything here. And that's kind of the point. I built a career in Atlanta. I built a life with my ex-fiancé, Alan, each day working diligently toward our goal of getting married and owning a nice home in Buckhead. I built a future that I could envision unfolding in front of me, just like it had for all the business grads Alan and I hung out with. 2 kids, weekends at Lake Lanier, and a dog. I do, for the record, have a dog, but the rest of the dream dissolved away in the span of one epic meltdown. Here on Tybee Island, I didn't build anything. I simply plopped myself down and let life happen around me. As Harriet seems to finally notice my pallor, her smile flickers out like a candle that just reached the end of its wick.
It won't be till the end of the summer. You have plenty of time to find another job. If you want one, that is.
Of course I don't want one. I'd much rather win the lottery, Harriet. But I have bills to pay. I glance at Harriet and see the joy in her eyes replaced by guilt. I don't want that. I don't want to ruin this moment for her. And I'll pay them, I assure her, my tone changing. Don't worry about it. I'll find another job. You should just be excited about retiring now.
Owning a restaurant isn't that different from managing a restaurant, she suggests.
Now I laugh. I simply can't hold back. There's a world of difference. When I've been managing this restaurant, it's your money on the line, not mine. I look around me at this place I've come to love. It's quiet now that the busy breakfast crowd has departed. After next weekend, when Memorial Day is upon us, there won't be as many lulls in the day when I can take a moment to catch my breath. They'll be lining up out the door, waiting for homey favorites like stacks of pancakes in the mornings, burgers or grilled cheese at lunch, and apple pie always, regardless of the time of day.
Maybe, Harriet begins, but it would be your profit if you owned it.
I feel creases form at the sides of my mouth. Her words seem to whisper to this other side of me, the side who used to feel the allure of one day having my own name on the firm's door where I once worked. My eyes flit to the door of the diner, with its name stenciled onto the glass. The Breeze Inn Diner. Millie's Breeze Inn Diner, I let myself add in my head for one brief moment. I was named after my grandma, just as she had been named after hers. I come from a long line of Millies, and wouldn't they all be proud to see their name on that door, watching over me from that great canasta game in the sky? Giving myself an internal shake, I squash the idea like a mosquito, because it's just as likely to bite me on the ass. I know what happens when you start envisioning your name on the door. And it would be my loss if it all went belly up, I counter. Her eyes roll upward.
Such a pessimist.
Bells jingle as someone walks through the diner door. I glance toward the sound and stand to greet the small family that just entered, and look around to see if Penny is back from her break. The summer season doesn't really kick off around here until after Memorial Day, so I haven't hired any of the local college kids for extra staff yet. As restaurant manager, I pinch hit as needed. I send them a welcoming grin. Sit any place you'd like. I'll bring you menus. Just think about it, Harriet whispers as I leave her behind the counter, a place she's enjoyed standing for the past 30 years of her life. I can't imagine her not being there anymore, just like I can't imagine this place without Penny or Janet, our longtime waitresses, or Beau, a big brute of a guy with a menacing tattoo and a heart of gold, who also happens to be the best short-order cook and pastry chef I've ever had the pleasure of knowing. My frown deepens. As bad as I feel for myself right now, I feel even worse for Penny, Janet, and Beau, and the half-dozen local kids we hire for the summer season. What will they do? I manage to smile as I take over the menus, and the expression holds fast to my face, even when I take lunch orders from the family. It's usually easy to smile in a place like this, which always sparkles when the bright sun blazes through our clean windows. But right now, that smile threatens to flicker out as I ponder the idea of being jobless at the end of the summer. Damn it. How am I going to get a job here on Tybee Island? There just aren't enough to go around. Most people commute into Savannah, to jobs which are a lot more likely to use that Stanford MBA I worked so tirelessly to achieve. The chimes above the door jingle again, just as I see Penny emerge from the back. She picks up her pace, but I give her a slight wave. I got it, Penny. Take another 5, I tell her, immediately wondering if she knows yet that all of our lives are about to change in just 3 short months. Turning, I spot the man who just walked in, and I stagger backward, almost losing balance. Mercy. Sometimes you see a sight that just knocks the wind right out of you, like sunrise over the Atlantic, stretching out its glowing auburn arms across the wide sea. Or fireworks, the kind that set the sky ablaze with glory. Or the Grand Canyon. Or this guy. Dark, compelling eyes set into a chiseled face. Short, cropped hair that somehow still manages to look carelessly tousled by the wind. Strong jawline with a dark 5 o'clock shadow that serves as a foundation for a smile that dazzles. My wildly talented sister would turn a face like that into a symphony. But me? I'll just take an extra moment to memorize it instead. There, I'm done. And now back to my regularly scheduled programming. Table for one? Or would you like to sit at the counter? I ask, hoping I sound casual rather than breathless as I grab a menu for him.
Counter's fine. I'm easy.
Ha, nothing about this guy is easy, I correct him in my head, spotting a tattoo on his arm. Between the short hair and the tat, he's probably military, and from that cocky air of confidence that seems to roll off him in waves, he's probably an Army Ranger stationed not too far from here at Hunter Army Airfield. I'd bet my last paycheck on it, which apparently is coming at the end of summer. And, as the sister of a former SEAL, I know firsthand that there's nothing easy about these guys. Counter it is, then. I hand in the menu. Can I get you something to drink while you decide what you'd like?
Actually, I already know what I want. I've been told you have the best apple pie in the state.
I grin proudly. In the nation, actually. I can't resist countering, because the blend of my grandma's pie crust and Beau's twist on her apple filling really is mind-blowing.
Great. I'll have a slice. And my friends tell me that if I ask for Millie, she'll give me extra whipped cream.
I chuckle, since it's a mistake people often make. Apparently, the world thinks I need at least 5 more decades of life in my rearview mirror to have a name like Millie. Don't worry, I'll hook you up, I promise him. When I bring him back the slice, topped heavily with Beau's homemade whipped cream, I can't help asking, so your friends told you about the place?
Yeah, said the pie Millie makes is incredible.
He takes a bite. I can't resist waiting to see his reaction, and satisfaction spreads on my face when I do. His eyes flutter shut, and he lets out a low, sexy moan that would seem more appropriate in bed than at the counter of a diner. My Grandma Millie's secret recipe pie crust is nothing short of spectacular. Flaky and decadent, melts in your mouth, buttery goodness with a subtle sweetness that makes it good enough to eat with no filling at all. I finally convinced Harriet to switch to Grandma's recipe about a year ago, and it's become our bestseller.
They weren't kidding, he says,
his words slightly muffled as he shoves another bite into his mouth. Glad you like it. I dare to stare at him as he wraps those glorious lips around his fork again, taking another bite. I should step away right now from this guy, break free from the hold he seems to have on me. But I can't seem to.
Like it?
He replies after swallowing.
Hell, I want to marry Millie,
he jokes, looking around the place, probably searching for a grandmotherly face framed by silver hair, someone who looks more like my namesake than me. I smile. Thanks, but I'd prefer to get to know a guy first. His eyes swing back to me.
You're Millie?
Yep, glad you like the pie. His mouth gapes.
I was picturing someone...
Older? Yeah, I get that a lot. I was named after my grandma, which I guess is appropriate since you're eating pie crust from her recipe.
No kidding? It's fantastic.
His grin intoxicates me as I watch him flake off another chunk of crust. Time to step away, Millie. But I can't. He's got a tractor beam on me. On me and every other single undersexed woman he encounters, I'm sure. So, your friends who recommended us, anyone I'd know? I swear I'm only extending this conversation to be sociable. Well, that and the fact that talking to him seems to awaken something in me that I thought had died. Hello, hormones.
Yeah, Mason and Freya Adler. They said they knew you.
I brighten at names I recognize. Oh, sure. I met them at my brother's wedding last winter. How do you know them?
I was stationed with Mason at the Pentagon for a couple years before I came down here to Hunter to rejoin the Ranger Regiment.
Hunter Army Airfield. I was right. I feel hope deflate inside of me. Nuts. Well, I'm glad they recommended the place, I say. And now that he's confirmed he's military, it should be all the reminder I need to step away. Let me know if you'd like anything else. I force myself to turn my back, and my eyes almost ache with need to see his face again. It's like being away from the ocean for too long, and that need to just look at it one more time, to fill your soul with the sight of it. Holy hell, I'm seriously crushing on this guy.
Actually,
his word is muffled until he swallows. That one word is all the excuse I need to turn and soak up all those delicious features again. The chin, the cheekbones, and those eyes. This guy should be a model, not a ranger.
Any chance I could take you out for coffee after you get off work sometime?
He finishes. My eyes widen in surprise. He's asking me out on a date? My back straightens at the feel of butterflies fluttering in my stomach. Coffee? I hear myself say, my words seeming to echo in my brain loud enough to drown out the much more insistent voice that's silently screaming in my head, don't do it, because I simply don't date military guys. I haven't always had this rule, just in the years since my brother got injured on his last SEAL mission, because even now, years later, the memory is too fresh. That worry is my entire family waited to hear whether he would pull through. Some people do better in those situations than I apparently do. Some people thrive under pressure, rather than melting down at the firm where I used to work while our best client watched in horror. They're probably still talking about it at Barham, Tanner, and Butler in their slick Atlanta offices, chuckling about it at their weekly staff meetings. No, it's really best that I steer clear of military guys whenever possible. I have no interest in essentially doubling my chances of having to go through that again.
Yeah, I saw a coffee house just a couple blocks from here.
Frankie's. I automatically say the name of the place because I go there at least once a week to get one of their whipped cream-laden Starbucks knockoffs, the kind of coffee that we don't serve here at the diner.
Yeah, that was it. I bet you know all the local spots.
I give a half shrug. Been here for years, so...
So how about it?
I nearly wince, conflict brewing inside of me as I remember the promise I made to myself when I dared to move this close to a military base. It's just coffee, but why torture myself when I know it can't go anywhere? And if he looks half as sexy drinking coffee as he does eating pie, I'd want it to go somewhere. I'm flattered, really, I tack on, since he's honestly way out of my league. But I don't date military guys. It's just that, I begin, feeling the need to explain why when he cuts me off.
That's okay. I don't date women who make pie.
At first, I think he's joking, but there's this harshness in his tone and a hint of annoyance in his eyes that doesn't mesh with a joke.
I wasn't talking about a date anyway,
he quickly follows up.
I'm just new in town and was hoping to pick your brain a bit.
Pick my brain? My tiny ego, already fragile, just shrunk to the size of an underdeveloped pea.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a cheap room to rent for the summer, and you work in the kind of place where local people talk about stuff. So I thought maybe you've heard something, and...
His voice trails as he finishes with a shrug. I'm mortified. Of course he wasn't after a date with me. Hot rangers don't date girl next door who serves up pie at the local diner. They date bikini-clad college girls who are still knee-deep in that stage of life where they can spend their days tanning on the beach. Lord knows after Memorial Day weekend there'll be a dime a dozen around here all summer. So why would he waste time with the boring 30-something in a diner? Son of a... I feel like an idiot. And, as if that wasn't bad enough, the diner is quiet enough that I'm pretty sure half the people in here heard. Oh, well, I don't know anyone renting a room. Bristling, I force the words out, trying very hard to sound like I don't care. I turned him down first, after all, proving that there is a special god who watches over dateless women. But there's a B&B just one block away.
Yeah, that's where I'm staying now. But I was hoping to find a room where I could stash an air mattress to sleep on and some other stuff. I'm getting sick of hauling all my gear every weekend back and forth.
Your gear?
Yeah, surfboard, paddleboard, bike. Loading and unloading it got old quick. And I've only done it a couple weekends so far.
He takes another bite of his pie and looks way too sexy doing it, before adding,
and then there's the traffic on the weekends.
Maybe check on Craigslist? I suggest half-heartedly.
Yeah, I did. Found nothing. Well, except for some guy who tried to sell me a timeshare and another one who wanted me to pay him in Bitcoin.
He takes his last bite of pie.
Got a pen?
Huh?
Do you have a pen?
Oh, yeah, sure. I hand him one from behind the counter. He jots down a number.
If you hear of anything, here's my number. I'd appreciate it if you'd let me know. I'd just be there on the weekends and don't need much. Could be easy money for someone.
Still looking annoyed, and I have no idea why he'd be annoyed since I'm the one wearing egg on my face, he hands me his number. For the record, he's the hottest guy who's ever handed me his number. And all he wants from me is information. Information and pie. Figures. Sure, I say, taking it, and tamping down the irritation of rejection because I had zero intention of dating this guy anyway. But I was certainly enjoying the idea that I had the option.
Chapter 2 Dax. She doesn't date military guys. I suppress a grumble. I hate women like that. I ran into enough of them these past 2 years that I lived in D.C. The uniform does plenty to attract women, but it does nothing to make them stick. At least, not in that city. Not when the bars are filled with women like my ex-girlfriend who drool over the uniform until they realize we're just not making as much bank as lobbyists or political consultants. Women like that diner woman, apparently. When the worst happens, it's funny how everyone rallies around the military. But then when a war gets old or the headlines have turned to something trendier, women like her look down their noses at guys like me. I don't date military guys.
I hear her voice in my head again, amplified by the voice of my ex-girlfriend, Nadia, who said nearly the same thing to me after a year of stringing me along.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?